Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Oh Lord, we love you so much because of what you've done for us. I was saying to Maud this morning in the car, Lord, that it is impossible for any one man, even all of us, to understand everything concerning your covenant with us. Why you did what you did, how you did it, the sacrifice you've made, all the implications of the power of the blood of Jesus, all the benefits of the covenant. We do not and we are not able to expound on it all. It is impossible. In all eternity, this is the greatest mystery, the power of the new covenant of the Lamb of God. Lord, that we stand so blessed that we don't even know it, that we don't even realize it. So make your people get, even if it is this, that fragment of insight and foresight into a future eternal. Now the covenant life with Christ Jesus in the kingdom has begun. Thank you, Lord. Bless your word. Amen. You may all take your seats. Thank you very much, everybody. And we are on the road here with the covenant of God with us. And I, yesterday, was talking to somebody, and I was just saying that, in my opinion, here is the number one, not two, not three, number one subject of the entire Bible school or any Bible school that is worth its salt. Because it's all about Jesus and His covenant in His own blood, our Savior, and the result and the impact of His covenant with us, becoming the bride of Christ, then through the marriage supper of the Lamb, even called the body of Christ, living with Christ, living in us, the hope of glory. This is immense. When I was in Bible school, it was my first subject. Wherever I went, it was the first subject. When I came here in 1986, planted this Bible school, first subject. You teach the people. And if you understand, because of the lack of understanding of the covenant, marriages go on the rock and they don't understand. Alifustani, the lack of knowledge. Ignorance is lack of knowledge. So through that ignorance, a lack of knowledge, they don't live the covenant principle and it blows. And the devil is there. I may also say to you, the smallest, the minutest adjustment to these eternal principles will impact and has long-lasting impact. If a person doesn't instantly come back, realize that, stop, and particularly compromise in the smallest way. For Maud and I, through the years, it's been very hard in the sense that we realize this. I'm a student of the Bible. My wife is also, both of us, in the Word every day. And we realize that the smallest course adjustment, just a little bit to the left, just a little bit to the right, from the straight and narrow, that's the word. That's what the word says. That's the truth. That's eternal. You do that, and if you just go, oh, I'm going to ignore that, do just something, it's like you send a rocket to the moon, you make a course adjustment, and you miss an object as big as the moon, even the sun. If you do not watch out, compromise is the death and is the funeral site of many lives, and that's just like it is. Also, I need to say to you, in terms of the covenant, when Jesus in the book of 1 Corinthians 11:23 said, on the same night that Paul the Apostle is writing, he says, I've received from the Lord, which I've also delivered to you, that on the same night that we were betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after he had broken it, the Lord said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, now listen, the cup after the covenant. This cup is the new Bereshit Hadashah. It is the new covenant in my blood. The word of the Old Testament. That Old Testament law of Moses was replaced with a new content. The new covenant has and contains a completely new content. As the Messiah himself sets the course for the kingdom of God, it's a completely new thing. He did say, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill it. And having done so, he now produces a new content that the entire Bible is based upon now. We have the Creator now saying this, and this is the way, and above all, that we would have love, hope, and faith. Can you say amen? And so I have to say this also. So to try and get the covenant, we have E.W. Kenyon and his book, The Blood Covenant. We have many other resources like that talking about covenants that happen in the, the pagan world. I decided to stay away from that, stay with the covenant of God. The best analogy was the marriage covenant. And also within the marriage, the extension of the marriage, children, the seed of a marriage, or in any other kind of configuration of marriage. We have children, you have adopted children, you have, Pass and Steve Pass, you have all of that stuff that can take place in the modern day world. There are people here with real broken lives. Now let me say this to you. We speak here on the platform. Tonight will be a surprise event, the red carpet here tonight, and we'll see. You'll see what happens here in this place. It's going to be very, very, very good. If you miss it, you're really missing something, which I think everybody should be part of. And so with us, the ideal marriage in that context of the Bible giving me the ideal marriage and the guidelines of the ideal marriage. Now we know, because of compromise, backsliding, lukewarmness, and sin, and the like, all of the things that people get up to, and the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, the works of the flesh manifest. And because of the works of the flesh, and James 1, each one is drawn away by his own lusts. And all the course adjustments and pleasing people rather than pleasing God. Pleasing people rather than pleasing God. Listen to the word. I could not even please my own children all these years. Not. And I will not budge on that. Because there stands Almighty God watching over my life and yours. So we talk in terms of the ideal marriage. But then I need to say, because particularly when I was talking last week about the aspects of the ideal marriage, I need to say that in an ideal marriage, that is how the Bible depicts it. We're now married. People don't even have a proper marriage covenant. They don't even understand the marriage covenant. There are people that are married. God knows about it, but there's no blessing there. They're outside of the will of God. They're unscriptural. They're ungodly. They're even wicked in terms of what they get up to. And they must not think that the blessing is just going to be automatic on them. But it doesn't work that way. If you're in Christ, hidden in God, Colossians 3, Ephesians 1, if you're in Christ, hidden in God, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, you're married and filled with the Holy Spirit, name written in the book of life, wife's name, when we counsel, we get them both to make the commitment. I had a man in early years that came up from Natal because his father-in-law, then to be father-in-law, came and said, you know what, I want you to marry my son and daughter. I heard you speak someplace, I don't know where. And he said, I said, you will bring that young man and you will bring his wife to me. In those days, I did all the counseling also. I did everything. And so I said, you bring them to me. I don't care where he comes from. He's a lawyer in Natal. He's got an important job. I said, I don't care. This is more important. This is the marriage covenant. Fly him up, because this man was a multimillionaire. Fly him up. Bring him into my office. Let him sort him out. Let me sort him out. And I got that thing, and I had the proper understanding of what is a marriage covenant. Now, in the case of the now world, you have the world filled with what we would call jackals. And the word in the New Living Translation for a person that's a good-for-nothing person is a scoundrel. The New Living Translation uses that word. Like in the case of the vineyard of Naboth and the false witnesses who were scoundrels. A New Living Translation there in the days of Elijah. So if you have scoundrels, if you have jackals, if you have people that do not bring their part in the marriage, and a poor lady sits there, she's married, she's committed, and this person is out to capture everything he can get out of this marriage, satisfied through his personal lusts, for his personal gain, for his personal motives, whatever he can get out of that, and he would just about leave her behind as a rag that's cast out the door. In such cases, these principles are not sound. And of course, I do feel, as 1 Peter 3 tells us, women are the weaker vessels. And that person, therefore, she has to be protected. There are many things. You know, there's a subject which I did, and it's now in the Bible school, and it's called marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And you look at these men, they don't have take responsibility. And because they don't take responsibility bringing the bread, you know, they're the breadwinners in the normal godly configuration. They don't have responsibility. They don't bring in the bread. And then they don't fulfill their roles. They're not there to in integrity. They are in terms of, you know, good for nothing scoundrels. Financially, they crook it. They crook the books. They do all things. They twist it. And that poor woman sits there. She's trying to protect herself. And they do. And they must. So I must say that there are things that you cannot go home and say, when I say, you know, Maud and I share one. In fact, we have one. I don't even know. I think she's got one account for the both of us. Because we're in a marriage covenant. We totally understand that thing. But at the same time, if the husband or the wife was funny and skew and crooked and a scoundrel, then how do you do that? That's what the New Living Translation would call them. How do you do that? Now all your safety and peace and security is blown out the door, and now a woman must take care of herself, because some of these men are alcoholics, some of these men are drug addicts, some of these men are psychotics, as we saw at university. You know, if you take the definition of a psychotic, and they have all kinds of variances because of their poor walk with God. Now, how can you now? That's where marriage covenant counseling comes in, where the pastors are. I had a couple that came to many years ago. They sat in my home. They came to see me. What about their marriage that's now so bad? And you know what? In the context of the covenant, I said to them, if the Lord does not build a home, does not build a house, they labor in vain who build it. If he doesn't guard the city, they labor in vain. They guard in vain. They do everything in vain. Christ has to be, and the covenant of God, the kingdom of God lifestyle has to be at the center of a godly, godly hope. It's just like it works. So, for all people that are broken, and some respond, a lot of positive response I had this week about what I spoke about last week. And some of the people said, but, you know, please, you know, like broken stones, hurt stones, people that are living stones, but they've been badly burnt and hurt because of marriages and all that sort of stuff. And you know that there are people that are, the Bible has got some potent scriptures on that subject. I can go on a long time. In fact, I looked at my notes of this week and I thought, Lord, I can write a book on each of these notes. So let's go to the aspects of the blood covenant. And I want to just read with you, to pick up with you in the scripture in Ephesians 5:25. In Ephesians 5:25, it says here, and we've read this last week, I'm reading it through and going straight on from Ephesians 5. I'm going straight on to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ. See, here's the covenant. We compare the bride of Christ with a marriage covenant because we are the bride of Christ. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. It is my absolute responsibility to see to the needs of my wife in every aspect all the way through marriage. It's just like that. I have a responsibility, I have accountability. If I don't fulfill my responsibility, I don't have accountability and I have no authority. Responsibility, accountability, and authority. If I lived like a scoundrel, I would not have any further responsibility, and but then I want to claim things. You can't claim nothing when you're there. And then you, of course, in the same time, you have no authority what to do. Let's say, for example, if the man is like that, and then how can he have a say, even in terms of where the children would go to school? That mother is still that mother. She loves, he even loves the husband. And now, how can he now come and dictate things and, you know, whip the rod and say, I'm the head of the home? He's the head of nothing. If you're one of those, then you're the head of nothing, because you've got no authority now. You've broken your own authority through your own wasted life. And likewise, as far as women concerning men, when they start sleeping around and adulterating within a marriage and all these things, and terrible, terrible hurt, and children get hurt and everything else. We had so much to say to you, so much. And he gave himself for us so that he might sanctify, om haar heilig te maak, set her apart as he is, and then cleanse her with a washing of water by the word. How does he cleanse her? With a washing of water by the word. Now you say, what about the blood of Jesus? The bride of Christ already washed in the blood of Jesus. All who come to the faith and repent, they're washed in the blood of Jesus. They're in covenant with the Lord. Now what does he do? He sets her aside and he washes her with a washing of water by the word. That's why we need to grow spiritually, that he might present her to himself, the Creator, the Savior of the world, Son of God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity, present her to himself, a glorious church, the living stones of God, the endoxos, which is the Greek word for it, which radiates the glory of God. That's the church supposed to be, radiating that glory. Not having a spot. That is like, you know, I had an English teacher, her name was Nancy Ryland. It was in the year 1994, and Nancy used to talk to the steward, the school kids. She'd say, you know, if they're naughty, she'd say, you're a speck on a pumpkin. Now, there's that little speck, just that little spot on the whole pumpkin. Now, it says here, no spot. He cleanses you by the word. That's why maturing spiritually in the word of God is critical. Do you even know that? No spot, a wrinkle. What's a wrinkle? If I came here with a pants, well, this one's dark now, but if I came here with a pants and it's all creased, and particularly some colors would show it up immediately, there is something twisted there. There's something not smoothed out. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ, no spot, no wrinkle. That's the body of Christ going through, the bride. Revelation chapter 19, up to verse number 11, there where it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb has come. Blessed is he who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. No spot, no wrinkle, any such thing, but that she should be holy, kadosh, again separated unto God, becoming ultimately so holy that she could commune with the bridegroom and have fellowship, intimacy of life eternal with our bridegroom. He's already bought us by his blood. And there is an intimacy that hits into the depths. That's why I get emotional, because I understand things as much as the Lord permitted. You look at this and you realize my people perish through lack of knowledge. Marriages are going on the rocks. They need to be counseled on the principles of a blood covenant. Oh, that the body of Christ would wake up in this country in a big, big way. Holy, kadosh. The Holy Spirit is called Ruach HaKodesh, which is the same thing, the Holy, the Spirit, quite separate from every, separated and separate from any other, incomparable with anything else, is the Holy Spirit. Now we have and we receive the Holy Spirit through this covenant, infused with him, the bridegroom. And he weeps over Jerusalem. And so do I. I never did, but now I do. Because I understand what goes on here. The intensity of this book is immense. You see these politicians blunder as far as they go. Ay, ay, ay. Holy, without blemish. And so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Notice the analogy. Love your wife, how? As your own body. Would you like to shoot off your own toe right now with a gun? Well, then you can't do that to your wife. You need to nourish her, cherish her, look after her, because she's the weaker vessel, not to be abused, not to be manipulated. And like I always say when it comes to a marriage covenant, woe to him who interferes with this marriage. If they're standing in front of me here, I would say those words. Wie hom wat op hierdie huwelik inmeng en inpak het. To break it down, to destroy it, to provide. You see that thing, manipulation? There are people drifting around called toxic people. And they would manipulate as they want. And you get, you know, okay, kom ons los dit. He who loves his wife loves also himself. 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it. And he cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Nourish, of course, is to raise up. Cherish is to keep warm with agape, the God kind of life. Just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. We are members, body of Christ, bride of Christ. For this reason, a man shall leave his father, his mother, be joined to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. Now, 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So if I want to compare my marriage, I've got to look at Christ and the church and what he's written right here. And I go to 1 Peter chapter number 3 and 1. In Petrus 3 and 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. That word submissive means literally to align yourself, to render yourself in a state, or align yourself and arrange your life to be under his guidance. And of course, women follow husbands. Husband, love your wives. But a wife can only love a husband as he follows Christ. If he is one of those scoundrels, jackals, he's corrupt in his mind, he's busy with all kinds of chochas and sins, how then should she follow him? Then she follows Christ, but she prays her life away to just get him into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? Be submissive to your own husbands, even as some do not obey the word. See, there it is. Some husbands just don't. That they, without a word, the biggest letter that you can write is with your lifestyle. We've had thousands of years of preaching. It's your lifestyle that changes everything. People see Christ in you or they don't. And if you compromise, they do. In my case, in Mort's case, I must say, we've traveled the world and we've been out there as far as Alaska to South America in the south. From there, we've been to the east, the west. Everywhere, from the east to the west, we've been going as churches invited me to speak through the years, and then we've traveled with Yanni and them on a, because they had a travel agency and they took us all over. We saw these nations, and like Mort said, you come into a church, you find the body of Christ there instantly, there's a unity with you. Find a church in a new town and you find immediately a whole family, and there's the life going on of the body of Christ. And so it says here, that they, if they do not obey the word, that without a word they may be won by the conduct of their wives. Die gedragskode van die vrou, die voorbeeldigheid van die vrou. Man, I tell you what, if the woman is a godly woman, it's easy to follow a godly woman. It's very easy. Because you know, she's going to show up where she should show up. a godly woman, and I mean, I've seen it, Maud had it with her family, I had it on my side, both sides. Those wives, I saw my own mother and father. My father gets up at a certain time in the morning. If he gets up, she's up also. She sees to his food to take with him for the day. She sees to, have you got coffee? Have you got this? She gives him a breakfast before he departs. She looks after him, and then she sends him out with a kiss and a blessing for the rest of the day. My mother, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she used to go for a bath and dress with a brand new dress after the day's work. She was a woman that stayed at home. She worked in the house and with a family. She would dress, and my father arrives at 5 o'clock at that front gate. She's got a new dress on. She's combed her hair. She's smart and everything else. The work of the day is now behind. There is these principles that have somehow got lost somewhere in the body of Christ. And you know what? If I have to think of the role that Maud fulfills, then I can't even describe. She just shows up where I don't. She just takes command where I am not or where I need to. She's just there all the time, filling in and fulfilling this Proverbs 31 woman situation. That's where she gets at. And so did her mother and my mother. We are very blessed. And in fact, our grandparents also. Now it says here that they may be won by the conduct of their lives. When they observe your chaste conduct. What is chaste? It's again, it's like, it's hagos, which is like pure, it's holy, holy conduct. And they look at you, they see that purity. They see, if the people look at you, that the husband looks at his wife, he's aware of her purity, he's aware of her loyalty, he's aware of her kindness, he's aware of her warm love, he's aware of the warm meals that are placed on the table, he's aware that she's come up to the party with a shot, she's always there, shows up where she must. And you know what, if it's like that, it's very easy to live and to bring in your part, and that thing begins to work. Marriage today is in tatters because of this world system. I see marriage and I see families in verskoning Afrikaans in 'n gemors as gevolg van wat aangaan. I sit in company with people. And you know what? I see a ring of people and everybody's got naas daai ding, a cell phone. No, I got a cell phone. Hier sit hulle. And they're gone. Not a child talks to another child or to another child. They've rather got a relationship with Joe Soap in China. And they're talking to a friend in Germany, or they're talking to somebody in South America, or somebody's flirting with them from the United States, or whatever the case. They have more relationship with people on a cell phone, and they don't even hear what you're talking about. They don't even, they completely blank out. It's like focus. Scientific research, even psychological research shows that focus, you have to focus fully on one thing. They've focused. And you don't actually, multitasking scientifically is not possible. You're focused on that one thing, you do that thing, you do a proper job. People that try multitasking do half a job in both directions. You can't be a jack of all trades. So they sit and they cut off. They don't hear the conversation and they feed themselves with this stuff. And this goes on. And then at the same time, you find that when, you know, I had Dr. Dennis and his wife, please forgive me if I want to tell you, but they had supper with us the other day. On Friday night, we sat down with them, we had a supper together, and they did something which I did respect so very, very much, you two. I saw them take, now he's one of the most educated doctors I have ever seen, qualified, and his wife is a lawyer. Both of them are academics. They are very bright. And he's got this list of things, and on the continent of Africa, I can tell you, let another one tell you, and that is he's got some qualifications which makes him the only pain specialist of a kind on the continent of Africa. Dennis, they sit down with me. Their patients, their clients, legal as well as medical, sit down. The first thing they do is they take out their cell phones and they put it into Ify's handbag. Close that thing. Now we're talking. Now we're communicating. Now there's no disturbance. Give the Lord a praise offering. Dr. Dennis, that little piece of protocol, that did not escape my attention, for right behind Maud was seated a young girl with her parents. She had a cell phone towards us, and I could see her going from this friend's face to that friend's face, and God knows where to, and parents don't control that thing. There needs to be, when you sit down at the supper table, we all sit together, we all pray together, we all have fellowship together, we have communion together, and you know what, we become this unit, and the children are the children of the covenant. Now we'll get to that aspect. I want to, perhaps, I don't know if I get a chance to get really into that thing too. The children of the covenant. These things are fundamental towards marital success. Fundamental stuff. Now how can you do that? When I was in high school, my friend, he's now Professor Wouter van Werffen. We were my best friend. And Wouter and his parents, they were Dutch people. So I ate with the Dutch people and according to their customs, everything. And I remember Wouter's father had a, what you call a starter Bible, this huge family Bible. Every night he would open up that thing and he would say, now, let us all read out of the Word of God. Then he would pray properly and then we would eat the bread. And it really stuck with me, my own father and mother. I saw them pray every day. It is prayer that builds the marriage. The future of a nation is upon the lips of a praying church. The future of a family is upon the lips of praying parents. Can you say amen? And when the whole family prays together, you got fire. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So if I step on somebody's toes, don't worry, I'll call you just now. We'll pray for you. And in one or two cases might cast the demon out. Because I see as I draw closer to God, people get scared of me. I don't know why. But I've done nothing. Nothing. Hulle word bang. Particularly if the prophetic thing. One guy says, I don't want you to read my letter. What letter? My private letter. I stand there. I say, yes. You go and you repent. Because he was a young man. It was in another city of our country. And they said, you're busy with pornography up to your ears. You repent. There was a man standing next to him. That man standing next to him, he knew I was telling the truth. The boy knew I was telling the truth. He told me that afterwards. The man standing next to me, he got frightened and he walked away. He wouldn't come near me. Now I wonder why. I wonder why. Chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment, this is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 3. Do not let your adornment, your beauty, talking to the women now, be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. I really don't care if my wife does that. I think it's a woman's, it's not a thing. Paul's bringing a principle across. If it's not a thing that you would say, all right, you know, I want my wife to be like, she's got to put on gray clothes and she's got to never put on any form of lipstick or any adornment or any gold around the neck or any this, any that, you know, and then he goes out there and he commits adultery. And she's now just this, like this gray bird that sits there, you know, die arme vrou, daar sit sy nou. Sê kan jy dit, hy sê bietjie 'n rok wat mooi is aantrek, then he complains where you get the money for that. And it's just terrible, terrible. A man needs to give his wife chance to improve herself when it comes to the appearance, but it's not about that, it's the hidden person of the heart. Can you say amen? Amen. Now the men, can I hear an amen from the men? Amen. Hallelujah. Die ouens wat nie gesê het nie, kom asseblief vorentoe ek wil vir julle bid. Okay. Arranging their hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. But rather, on the contrary, it says, let it be the hidden person of the heart. The New King James talks about the hidden man of the heart. Let me just see that there, if I could pick it up here in the Greek word, the hidden, yeah. Yeah, it's the hidden anthropos, the hidden, real, total man of the heart. Let the beauty come from there. let the purity pour out from there. And by the way, men, that goes for you as well. You know what? Can I be frank with you? Look, I'm a father, grandfather, I have three sisters and a mother. All the time I had women around me. I saw men, I saw women, I saw godly men. But let me tell you something, I see people letting themselves go. And then comes, in the process, along comes Snowflake at the workplace. Or Cinderella, or Snow White. Here she comes, and she looks altogether what she shouldn't be looking. And in the meantime, the woman lets herself go. But men, the man lets himself go too. Because there's no discipline. There's no discipline. They let themselves go. So ultimately, that has an impact again afterwards, without saying, on the marriage bed. There has to be discipline. There has to be enduring discipline. There has to be self-control. The woman must always remain attractive to her husband. The man must always remain attracting to his wife, or attractive to her, and be attracted by her, that marriage covenant, because it is the vital. If the devil wants to drive in a nail, he'll drive it in right there. The separation is right there. See? Man, I got much to talk about. I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this. Hallelujah. Okay, let me just finish this portion of scripture. And I go on, and I actually haven't even got to my notes of the day. Honestly. I see the lack of knowledge in this body of Christ, and I can stand on my head. I won't get people into the Bible school. I made a decision against it. They won't listen. They won't learn. Someday, oh, I can't do exams. My brains are rusted. Really? Ek het nog nooit 'n geroeste kop onder 'n X-straal gesien nie. Dr. Dennis, have you ever seen a rusted brain on a scan? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's like that saying, I'm just a general saying, Dr. Naber used to say this. He used to say, you can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. There's no such thing as a rusted brain. You use this thing or you lose it. Sebika, hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise offering. I'm going to close now. And then it says, the hidden person of the body. That's where the glory comes out. With the incorruptible beauty, that word incorruptible, okay, athartos is the Greek word for it. That means imperishable, immortal. It can't be spoiled. It'll stay there. Incorruptible beauty that comes from the hidden person of the heart. The beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is, wow, very precious in the sight of God. By the way, when you see your marriage partner, don't moan. And if your marriage partner moans or complains about everything every day, oh, hier is nou weer maandag, hier gaan ons alweer, hier is nou maar nie weer, ek moet nou maar aansloof hiermee, hier gaan ons. You see them complain, stop them in their tracks. Stop them in their tracks. Start speaking faith in your life and of your marriage and of your children. Quiet spirit, very incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now listen, for this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves in that manner, okay? Being submissive to their own husband, as Sarah also obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and you are not afraid of any terror. And are not afraid of any terror. Now, my final verse here. It says, husbands, ek sê manne, waar's die manne? Stick your hand up as your manne is. If you're men, raise your hands. You know, of course, if you're a man, then you know you're a man. I'm talking to a man. How many of you are men? Raise both hands. Good. Give Jesus a praise offering for men. Sebiki, hallelujah. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. And you heard the word understanding. If I look at that word there, in the Greek, literally means spiritual intelligence matched with earthly godly intelligence that is able to comprehend whatever situation is, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of God, that men, mana, that your prayers may not be hindered. You'll pray the hairs on your knees right off, but they'll be hindered if you don't bring honor to your wife. Now, it's very quiet in this place. I haven't even got to the sermon yet. We can have a 5-minute break and I'll preach again for the next 2 hours. Can you say amen? Amen. If you don't do that, your prayers are hindered. Let's stand together. I must force myself to still stand here now. Oh Lord our God. Knowledge of your word brings understanding. Understanding the weaker vessel and honoring them means answered prayers. I caught that very early in my life. Answered prayers. Don't you use that thing and then afterwards expect your prayers to be answered. I thank you, Father, that your people are learning, because we've got to, Jesus spoke straight. It doesn't help to beat around the bush. Straight. We thank you, Father, for this in Jesus Christ's name. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you, lift up his countenance over you, be gracious to you, grant you eternal peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all God's people said, amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.